Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Show and Vern. I'm Ron, the show Hughley, alongside with my guy Josh Vernier and the very beautiful Steven Sirtis in the building. Our last hour was really, 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 really good. Sean Salisbury, thank you from 790 in Houston. He was fantastic. I promise you, you do not want to miss that. Go to 610sports.com, hit the Show and Vern, hit the on-demand page and hit Show and Vern, and Serta will have that up. It was great, and Charge was fantastic, as always. Austin Ekker and Nick Foles are his sleepers this week.
And Sean Salisbury, actually, I already tweeted it out, so you can go find it at 610SportsKC on Twitter.
You do that.
Or at 610 Sports Radio on Facebook.
Really, really good. Some of the things he said about Patrick Mahomes get you in that let's go mode. I do want to get here. Here in about 5 minutes, there's I'm watching Travis Kelce very closely after this game, on Sunday. But let's try something here. I'm going to give you the answer to a question I have, because you know Daddy knows the answer. The answer to the question is hell no, no, you can't. Here is the question. I was hearing this a lot from people who I think and respect within the NFL and who know football. And I heard, you know, Justin Houston had a good game. Houston had a good game. He was really good against the run. And, you know, he did well in the game. And the question is, if you're Justin Houston and you're a starting outside linebacker, in a 3-4 defense, which means you line up on the line of scrimmage. You play in coverage sometimes. You play the run. But you're there to rush the passer. And I want you to even take out the money that he makes. Just if you're a starting outside linebacker, him D-Ford, can you say that you had a good game if you only got pressure one time when the quarterback drops back 52 times? It's 52. You know, there was a sack there from D Ford. Can you really say that an outside linebacker, a starting outside linebacker, your quarterback drops back, you got pressure 1.5 times? There was one time where he caused a holding penalty where he got pressure. But really, he didn't get pressure. He was good against the run. And he may be the best run-stuffing 3-4 outside linebacker. But that's not what his primary job is. It's not. Even if Sammy Watkins, Vern, was exceptional in pass blocking or blocking or helping the run game and blocking, he did not have a good game. He caught 3 balls for like 14 yards or something. Because his primary job is to catch the football and get open and make plays. Just like Justin Houston's primary job is to get pressure on the quarterback. And if Phillip drops back 52 times and he got 1.5 pressures, especially when you combine that by looking over the other side, what D Ford did, he played 77% of the snaps in that game. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's his gig. His job, his primary job, is to get pressure on the quarterback. And I can't sit back and say, well, he had a good game because he stopped the run. No. His primary job, he can have an okay game. He was good against the run. But his primary job is to get pressure, Vern.
But haven't you and I had this conversation throughout the preseason where it sounds like you haven't changed your expectations for Justin Houston? Like, you still view Justin Houston as the 22 sack guy.
No, God, no.
Where you and I know that he'll have a game or two where he looks like the old number 50. But for the most part, all we want from him is the good performance.
No, I don't. I don't view him as that guy. I view him as a starting 3-4 outside linebacker. And I don't think any starting 3-4 outside linebacker in the league, I don't think any of them in the league would be in a place of having a good game if they only got 1.5 pressures and 52 pass attempts. If Breland Speaks was the starter here, I wouldn't say he had a good game if he only got 1.5 pressures on 52 dropbacks. I wouldn't. Like, it doesn't have to do with me thinking he's the 22 sack guy, Vern. I'm just saying he's a starting outside linebacker. And his primary job is to rush the passer. And if he's not, just like to me, I wouldn't say, boy, Steve Nelson Orlando had a great game because they made tackles. No, their primary, and they got burnt several times. No, their primary job is coverage and is to slow down receivers, just like his primary job is that.
So is your frustration stemming from just the overall sentiment of the fan base? Because you have to keep in mind, Justin Houston isn't your run-of-the-mill outside linebacker. He is a guy that Kansas City as a whole pines for, that we're rooting that somewhere deep down inside of him that he can find that old Justin Houston. Just like Alex Gordon, whenever you see even the smallest glimmer of his old self, even when you see him just do something positive rather than negative, we get overly excited because that hopefully is a precursor to him returning to what he used to be. You know, it's a reflection of the hope that the city has for a guy like Eric Berry. Just like if Eric Berry comes back and has an okay game, that is going to be lauded as a great game because he's another, like Houston, like Gordon, who we all just don't, many people, don't want to admit that he's not what he used to be. So we look for the little things to hang on to and convince ourselves that it can turn into what it used to be.
People don't like to believe me. Like here, you can't judge his pressure by stats. You have to look at how he was used schematically as well. Also, he gets double teamed all the time. Listen, Terrez Paylor, the best in the damn business, who you can hear every Monday, this Monday coming up at 1 o'clock with us, and generally for the rest of the year at 6, he said himself, if you don't believe me, he said himself, I didn't see a lot of double teams. He's got to win differently. And I want to stop this. Now, Lord knows that Bob Sutton gets on my everlasting nerves because I don't think Bob does a great job in his job. But we got to stop blaming this. Bob Sutton, yes, probably puts him in pressure too many times, but he ain't putting him in pressure 50 times. On those dropbacks, I bet you 50% of the time, more than 50% of the time, Justin Houston was rushing the passer. So we got to quit blaming this all on Bob Sutton. It's just, like you talked about Alex Gordon, that's a good comp, but you just got to be honest. Like, I'm not mad. I'm not really frustrated. You just got to be honest about it.
But look, when I dive into the nerdy numbers and what, you know, Pro Football Focus has to say, of course, you know, the great outside linebackers, Von Miller, a grade of 89.9. That's high quality, according to Pro Football Focus. 83.8. For D4, that's high quality, according to Pro Football Focus. Justin Houston, 54.3. That's average. That's middle of the road. Isn't middle of the road Justin Houston, where it's not below average, it's not poor, it's not rookie, it is an average performance from Justin Houston. With what he's been, or maybe what some people were expecting, an average performance, isn't that a solid starting spot for Justin Houston? Won't you take average Justin Houston? Because I think I would.
But you could say he's average. That's fine. Say average. Like he didn't have it. But to me,
but that's not bad. That's good.
No, I didn't say that. You can't say he had. To me, he had an okay game. 55 is an okay game. You don't have a good game. You got to put pressure on the passer. That's your primary job. You weren't double teamed all the time. They started swinging protection over to 55 side. I do want to transition here, Vern, before we move out. I do want to transition. I got a concern. I'm really going to be watching this game and seeing what the production is outside of the game, after the game. I want to see what the stat line is and the targets for Travis Kelce at the end of this game, because I don't have a major concern right now. But Travis Kelce starts having the same type of production, 1 for 6 yards, 6 targets, low targets again. Man, I'm going to be concerned with how he handles that, because deep down, you know, you don't, a lot of stuff doesn't go away. Like, deep down, I think he is a diva. I think deep down inside, Travis Kelce is a football diva, a guy who will, as early as last year, when he's not getting the ball enough, you know, bad body language, making faces, coming at Andy Reid, where he's had to be pulled back and talked to by Eric Berry because he wasn't liking where the ball was going, or he wasn't getting enough touches. Another performance of 1 for 6 or 2 for 17. I think we've all believed Travis has grown up. I will have a concern meter starting to see how he's going to start reacting with this production if it's down to where it was again in the game Sunday.
I'm going to need more than just one. 2 weeks in, if it's a 2-0 start, I have to believe that he can keep his mouth shut 2 weeks. Because I'm also the guy that believes that a new Travis Kelce is going to emerge this season, a more leadership-focused, a mature, a veteran leader in that clubhouse. That is going to be the Travis Kelce. I can't believe that 2 weeks into the season, 2 weeks with not enough touches, that that's going to make him erupt.
No, not erupt. I'm just saying I'm starting. I will start to really look at that. I will start to – look, I mean, that doesn't go away. Listen, you know what this thing is about.
See, I think it does go away. I think guys can grow out of that. I think maturation takes you out of that.
It can. Not, for me, it's longer than 8 months.
Okay.
Okay, because just last year, the Dolphin game comes to mind, which is one of the 13th or 14th week last year, where he was throwing his head back and really having issues because the ball wasn't coming his way. I'm going to tell you, when there's a chance – where you could get new money, and that is coming up, where his guaranteed money is coming out, there's a chance where he can get new money. Travis starts getting these 2 reception games, these 5 target games, that these continue. Like, we went to about week 4 or 5, and then one of them comes in a loss, and he's not getting targeted, because I truly believe there may be something to the way that Patrick Mahomes views the field and throwing it to the outside, and the way Alex views the field. Like, that could be something that at least next week my ire will be up, wondering how he handles that, because he's a diva, and that maybe that goes away, but it ain't been enough time proven to me that it's going away. All right, coming up, I know many of you out here must think I hate the Chiefs, but I don't. But I'm telling you, Vern, one of the things that I can't wait for is when Patrick Mahomes F's up for the first time.
Not work for you.
Coming up here, second edition in about 15 minutes of Steve's 32. Oh, boy, he worked so hard on it. Steve's 32.
Arrowhead Pride Tailgate presented by Albright Buick GMC Cadillac comes your way this Sunday at 10 a.m. Pete Sweeney, Mike Wickett, Sean Barber, the whole crew from Arrowhead Pride. They'll also have you covered at halftime. 7th Street Casino Arrowhead Pride halftime show. That'll be on Facebook Live. Once the baseball season ends, we'll have that for you on the air. You'll be able to call in at halftime, give your thoughts. And then, of course, the 7th Street Casino Arrowhead Pride postgame show right here on your football station, 610 Sports Radio.
Donald up under center, 1st and 10 Jets. Donald turns, fakes to Powell, wants to throw, steps up in the pocket, now throws. It is picked up by Ryan. Come back right side. Inside the 10, it is Quandre Diggs to the 5, to the house, touchdown Detroit Lions.
this football team.
How excited they were.
That's right, baby.
Oh, my God.
They were excited.
Like, they didn't know what team they cover.
That was Sam Darnold. And his first throw of his career, he threw a, I mean, god-awful interception. Everything they tell you not to do, rolling to the right, throw it across the field and get it picked off. But you know what? That moment, it was amazing to see how he responded to that. And that's one of the things that I am really waiting to see with Mahomes. In a weird way, I want to see how he deals with adversity. I want to see how he comes out and puts his – if he puts his team in a hole and throws two or three picks in the first quarter or the half or something, has fumbles or he misreads things. I want to see adversity from him being behind 10 with 10 to go, something. I just want to see how he handles adversity because he hasn't had to handle adversity on this level yet in the NFL. Now, at Texas Tech, sometimes he did not handle adversity very well. I can remember specifically a game against Texas. He threw a horrific interception. But other times he did do well. I want to see at this level. It's different, man, Vern. It's different. You've been around this industry for 40 years. It's different when you're playing with guys who this is how they feed their family. This is over the top important. This is all they do is eat, sleep, and breathe football. And if you are the cause of this, how you respond to this? Because this game is faster than any game you've played. All right? As Sean Salisbury said earlier, hell, I can go in and play when we're up 28. I want to see how you play here, and I think that's one of the last steps. And I think that is something that you could possibly see with the Steelers this week because Tomlin's a good defensive coach, and they're a better defense than people think, as Serta has told me. And I think they're going to come out and really try to confuse him. There's a little tape on them. I just want to see how he responds to that type of adversity.
Man, I've always prided myself on having perspective and remaining level-headed. But I can't. I don't even want to say this because I know I shouldn't, but show I don't need to see it. You know what? You can have this crown. You can be the level-headed one on the show. You can be the one that utilizes perspective when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think I'm being fanboy because I spent most of the preseason preparing myself for him to make mistakes that are reflective of a rookie. And yet, after watching his growth in the preseason, watching his performance against the Chargers on Sunday, I really don't have a concern of how he's going to respond to adversity. I don't think he's going to be deterred when he throws that back-breaking interception. I appreciate your, this is professional football. I need to see it before I'm willing to say it into a microphone that I believe in this kid. You're right. That's how I think football people feel. People that played the game, that's what they would say. But I don't need to see it. With the marriage of him and Andy Reid and those weapons, I just don't see a way in which the inexperience of Patrick Mahomes is the culprit for a loss. Now
he has a bad game could be the reason that they lose.
I don't see him as the sole reason. Like when we tune in and listen to the post-game show,
there's never one person that's a sole reason though. There's always some way you can say, hey.
But no, when I see the Chiefs losing on Sunday to the Steelers, culprit number 1 through 4 is that defense, is that secondary, is that lack of a pass rush. I don't see Patrick Mahomes, mentally or physically, having the attributes of someone that makes a mistake and then doubles down on that mistake to only make it worse. I see him constantly learning, constantly adjusting, and with a head coach that isn't going to put him in a position to make the same mistake twice.
Yeah, I mean, all the signs show that this is a guy who, you know, interceptions in the past in college didn't get to him. But I'm just saying this is a different animal. Sure. And I want to see that. Like, I'll never forget, Matt Leinart is someone, when he was at USC, He was basically the pro football team there. He was one of the biggest stars in L.A. He handled anything, anything. He was always calm, cool, collected. Nothing seemed to bother him when he was at SC. He got to Arizona, and when he was with the Cardinals, he looked flustered and crazy all the time. And I was more shocked by that than almost any recent quarterback that mentally he couldn't handle it. So you just never know what you're going to see. And someone texts in, you don't consider beating the Broncos twice in a game beating adversity. No, I don't. That game didn't matter.
Yeah, you weren't ruining anything.
Yeah, that was a glorified preseason game. I mean, that game didn't really matter as much to me. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers pissed down. They are 0-1 at home in a game they need. And that place is going to be crazy. They are ready to go. Terrible Towels, one of the toughest places to play. Reggie Ragland told you that, even though he's never played there. But he told you it's one of the toughest places to play. You throw a couple picks, you start getting hit, that's where I want to see. That's where I want to see how he responds to that. Like Sam Darnold, throw a pick, a bad pick six, your first throw. Then what did Sam Darnold do? He came back, he's throwing in tight windows. He was not phased, and I want to see what he's like. Hell, I watched Alex Smith repeatedly get phased in games when he made mistakes early, and he wouldn't make any kind of – he wouldn't take any kind of chance the rest of the game when he made mistakes early. And that's a 13-, 14-year-old vet. Newsflash. On fire,
Serta's
Newsflash.
If you got up to go to the bathroom during the Raiders' 33-13 loss to the Rams on Monday night, you may have missed Amari Cooper's contribution to the game. 24-year-old caught one pass for 9 yards on just 3 targets in Oakland's season opener. Amari Cooper has had less than 10 yards receiving in 6 of his last 13 games.
Yeah, I'm not that worried about Amari Cooper. I think he's a really good talent. I think he went up against two of the best corners in the league. And their pass rush was bad. He had a really bad year last year. Their offense was terrible last year, and he had a bad first game. But I mean, there are a lot of people who are facing Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters who are going to struggle. All right,
but isn't he a great example of what you were just talking about with Patrick Mahomes? How do you handle adversity when those drops started to pile up last year? It appeared
he's had a problem with drops. Yeah.
That creeped into his head.
He's had a problem with drops. His first 2 years, this is a guy who's played 3 full seasons in a game. His first 2 years, he was a Pro Bowler. So, I'm not saying Amari Cooper's going to be Julio Jones, but he'll be fine.
Former and now disgraced head coach Hugh Freeze managed to slither back into the public eye. During a Q&A session after a speech at the Little Rock Touchdown Club.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
LRTDC.
Let him read this.
Hugh's been out since 2017, and during this Q&A session, he was asked about that, and he said, "I think the climate in America the last year probably affects a lot of administrators' decision-making. If they don't take the time to really hear what our story is, they probably can come quick to make some type of judgment."
Can I jump
in? Maybe that happened, maybe it didn't.
Can I jump in? His story was he was using his work phone to call hookers.
Yeah. He's blaming that on the current climate in America why he can't get a job.
You're using your work phone to call hookers for you and your players, and not to mention the other things that you did to get those. Remember, out of nowhere, Ole Miss had the number one recruiting class, and everybody was like, "What? Come on now. Don't blame the climate." No, man. The reason is you were calling hookers for you and your players.
I respect what he had to say. He's looked around. He sees Bobby Petrino got another job. Larry Eustachy got another job. I think Dave Bliss got another job. Hey, man, just say it's not a big deal and people will believe you. He'll have another job within 2.5 years.
I'm sure he will. But he said he had a lot of interviews and didn't understand why. You call hookers!
Show and Burn, presented by absolutely no one. Someone could step up.
coming up here in about 5 minutes. Excuse me. Steve's 32, the second edition. As soon as you say it, he's just laughing. He's smiling. He is so happy. Steve's 32 coming up.
These takes up.
In about 5 minutes or so. The drive behind us, Neil Smith today at 3:30. Pops will be in the building at 3:30. Neil Smith on the drive, so you don't want to miss that coming up behind us with Carrington and Brad Fanning. So I think Andy Reid is would constitute as a football genius, and I think he's a football genius the same way that Bill Belichick is a football genius. I do find it funny, though, or not funny. That's I find it interesting that both of them are geniuses. And when you really look at geniuses, they are some of the worst teachers. Like, generally, they are not really good people who could teach. Like, I bet LeBron.
Because well, it may, comes naturally.
He may be different. Jordan Magic would be terrible coach. Remember how bad of a coach Magic was?
Wayne Gretzky was a bad
coach. Oh, horrific. Like, yeah, Steve Jobs. You know, a guy that is. It would be horrible to try to teach stuff. I could never see him being a law professor.
The old adage is, those who can't teach.
Yes. And if you look at Matt Patricia, whatever, however you say his name, in Detroit, he's a dumpster fire. They're going to be a failure. He's along the lines of the coaches that the Patriots have had, in Eric Mangini and Romeo Crennel, who we got to see play good football right in front of our eyes, and Bill O'Brien, who I believe has sorely been underachieving.
Charlie Weiss,
Josh McDaniels, who went to a great organization in Denver, and they've just been failures one after another, and he seems like he's in the line. But if you look at Andy Reid, who is another genius, if you look at his coaching tree, his coaches, he seems to be able to teach them. And when you start to have 5, 6, 7 guys who've been successful, including 2 winning Super Bowls and others who have been to Super Bowls, it isn't just a coincidence anymore. Just like it isn't a coincidence anymore with Belichick, there's something that disconnects there. And it's weird. They're both geniuses. Why is Andy more successful in being able to teach his understudies and to prepare them better than Bill, who is a genius, and I think even probably more of a football savant than Andy is? And it's weird when you got Rivera, who's been to the Super Bowl, and you've got Peterson and Harbaugh, who've won the Super Bowl, and McDermott somehow, by the grace of God, Moses, and Tim Tebow, got the Bills to the playoffs last year. Like, it's weird that Belichick. Maybe it's not weird that Belichick's not a good teacher, because that's more normal. Like, why is it that Andy is such a good teacher and a genius? Because that's generally against the.
I think you would just have to ask his players. I mean, the MO on Andy Reid from Philadelphia and here is that players would lay down in traffic for this guy. This is someone that they are happy to follow, that they do not want to let down. He seems more of a people person, right? Bill Belichick, it's my way or the highway. You come in and you do your job, and if you just listen to what I say, I promise we'll have success. Well, Andy Reid is one that seems willing to explain why we're doing it this way, get to know you on a personal level, while Bill Belichick views you simply as a uniform. And if you don't have the gravitas of Bill Belichick, if you're a Matt Patricia or one of his other assistants, trying to duplicate that with that attitude, right, Patricia, what the Lions are saying is his practices are too hard. We are revolting because he is riding us into the ground. Well, Peterson and Harbaugh, man, you watch the way that they interact with their players. It seems more like a partnership than a dictatorship.
And I think the other point about it is, because I guess Saban is like this too, because a lot of Saban's...
And Saban's a Belichick guy.
And he's a genius. And a lot of his coaches aren't great. I mean, Kirby is finally.
He's also a dictator.
But yes, those guys. But a lot of the guys that are under him, specifically the guy who looked like Jimmy Johns from Florida, he was terrible.
McElwain?
Yeah, Jim McElwain. He was terrible. And like a lot of his guys have not been very, or a lot of them haven't been successful. My thing is with Andy, so football to me is different than the other pro sports. Like the other pro sports, especially baseball and basketball, you know, the interaction with your players is just as important. Like even more important than the X's and O's is how you can handle personalities and players. In the NFL, you don't have to be as great with personality if you're really good. And it helps, but Belichick is not a good people person, but schematically he is untouched.
But they say nobody took better care of their players than Bill Walsh.
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't have, Denny Green is in that way. But Andy's coaches, some of them I don't think are great people persons, but Andy's coaches schematically seem to be in tune and on point. It's not just people persons. Belichick's coaches don't seem to know what they're doing when they're away from him schematically. That mess Monday night with the Lions, it didn't look like they were lining up right. The Jets knew all their plays. Romeo Crennel, a big thing was, do they know what's going on? Do they know the plays? It's almost like they don't learn anything. You would think, at least with Belichick, I would learn, like, strength in plays and strength in how different formations and schemes work. It seems like when they get on their own away from him, man, Genie, even the defensive coaches, they fail. That's the part that is crazy to me is, okay, I get that maybe you try to perform, and as you said, Patricia, whatever his name is harder than in camp. But if you go and look at them and their plays, it looked like they didn't know what they were doing offensively and defensively. And I see that a lot with ex-assistants for Belichick. And that's strange to me.
Raiders Broncos coming up this Sunday over on 1660. Don't forget exclusive coverage of Sunday Night Football on 610 Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. This is week two of Steve's 32. He ranks his favorite 32 teams, and none of it generally makes sense.
I forgot to change the music. I don't like this music. I meant to update that. I'm going to piss off Chiefs fans real quick.
You probably need to turn the music up.
Let's get this thing going, boys. Number 32, the Buffalo Bills. I can't justify putting you any higher on the list. You started Nathan Peterman more than once.
You just left him off.
Seattle's roster so bad, Russ's leading receiver was a ginger tight end named Will Disley. For some reason, I also put not that Will Disley, as if there's more than one Will Disley. Number 30, the Oakland Raiders. I'm pretty sure John Gruden's going to cut Amari Cooper. Number 29, the Cincinnati Bengals. You almost lost to the Colts. Number 28, Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, God. Good Lord.
Not even Pat can save the Chiefs from the atrocity that is Orlando Scantron.
28.
What a joke.
Number 27, the Dallas Cowboys. Bleep you, Jerry. Number 26, Miami. Titans should be ashamed of themselves.
That was a lot of weather delays, man. That was...
Still no excuse for getting beat by an Adam Gase-led football team. Number 25, the New York Giants. Pat Shurmur should have stayed in Minnesota. Number 24, the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a huge upset. They were in the top 10 last week, but since Big Ben is such a creep, as we discussed later or yesterday, he's also no longer good at football. Number 23, the Denver Broncos. Your city's still dirty and overrated, but I kind of find myself rooting for
Case
Keenum.
Denver's a beautiful city.
It's very clean, too.
Number 22.
Clean. It's clean.
You haven't been to the parts of Denver I've been to.
I've never even been to Denver.
The Tennessee Titans. You're just bad at offense. Number 21.
That's it.
Detroit.
How's Detroit?
Detroit's ahead of Kansas City?
This is just going bad.
Bad Patricia, you're gross. Number 20, the Carolina Panthers. That defense is going to move you up the list eventually, Carolina. Number 19, the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck still loves Jack Doyle. Number 18, Arizona. Please start Josh Rosen. Number 17, Baltimore. No, I did not say the Colts already. I did not see that coming from Joe Flacco. What the hell is going on there? Number 16, Chargers. You're going to go down the list. I just forgot to move you down. You already blew it, Phil. Number 15, San Francisco. Jimmy G is going to bounce back. He's got Detroit this week. Number 14, Atlanta. in the same spot because that injury-ravaged defense is just heartbreaking. I love you, Deion Jones. Number 13, Tampa Bay. Fitzmagic is back looking for a new deal. Go ahead and pay that, man.
Pay Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, go ahead and pay him.
Shut the hell up.
Cut Jameis Winston because this is what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. He gets big-time contracts, and then he starts sucking again. Number 12, the New Orleans Saints.
Give him one, yeah.
Marcus Lattimore, bust. Number 11, Jets. Sam Darnold's better than Dak Prescott. Number 10, the Houston Texans.
Not
I still
right
believe
now.
In you, Deshaun. You'll turn it around. I love you, DeAndre Hopkins. Number 9.
Sam did throw for
the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is a god. Number 8, the Washington R's. Cracking the top 10 for the first time ever. A-bleeping-P. It's old as hell, but I really like Alex, and that offense is going to be really good. Number 7.
You've never liked Alex.
Chicago Bears.
7, the Bears.
Mitch really didn't look very good, and I'm kind of scared about Nagy's play calling. But I still have faith in
them. 21 points higher than
them. Number 6, the New England Patriots. Tom Brady made Philip Dorsett a top ad in fantasy leagues this week. Philip Dorsett. Number 5, Minnesota Vikings. If this was a real power rankings, Minnesota would be number 1. Number 4,
so you're just
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Fake?
Blake is terrible, but I respect Doug Marrone for not watching Super Bowls. Number 3, Philadelphia Eagles. Dougie Fresh is going to figure this thing out. And a stunning upset. Number 2 this week, Johns Browns.
Oh!
Best start to a season since 2004. And number 1, the Los Angeles Rams. Elite secondary, Sean McVay's beautiful face, Todd Gurley on my fantasy team, and Marcus Peters is the best cornerback in the NFL.
That is Steve's 32 and a stunning upset. A stunning upset. It took to week 2 for the Browns to be denounced off the throne. And the Rams are number 1 in Steve's 32.
Show and Vern.
Welcome back into Show and Vern. Sir has pissed off so many people. How are the Chiefs 28th?
Ask Andy Reid why he kept Bob Sutton.
Wow. Good Lord. Come on, man. You didn't have to take a left turn
eventually
and just swift off people.
You have to accept it.
You don't, but my goodness.
I would hope that the Reggie Ragland news we found out earlier today would have bumped the Chiefs up higher than 28th, but evidently not.
No.
Fifth caller right now, 913-576-7610.
The Bears are the ones that I'm most mystified about. The Bears placement, I just don't get.
You win a gift card to Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge you've been searching for. Fifth caller right now, 913-576-7610. Gift card to Twin Peaks.
That's right. Coming up, also the money shot at 154. And behind us, the best afternoon drive show, sports show in the city, The Drive with Carrington and Brett Fanning.
What was with the clarification?
You're right. The best afternoon. Well, I just want to make sure I'm being accurate. I guess that is for, I mean, I enjoy it the most, but accurately, it is the number one sports afternoon drive show. The Drive with Carrington. At 3:30, Neil, shut up. At 3:30, Neil Smith coming up. I would urge you, as sort of put it out already, the Sean Salisbury interview. Very, very good. Very, very frequent. Very, very nasty. he let it all hang out, and we couldn't even breathe by the time it was over. I don't even know how I said a tease on that one. I do want to finish things off here a little bit with So you told me I need to calm down.
That's right.
You told me I need to calm down on...
Well, it's not calm down. It's more, look, you showcase tremendous perspective when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and how you still need to see it, right? Need to see him bounce back from adversity. And I'm wondering mm-hmm. why you're not showcasing that same perspective when it comes to Tyreek Hill. Because the way you talk about Tyreek Hill, and a lot of people talk about Tyreek Hill, is similar to the way that they talk about Antonio Brown. And I'm strictly talking about wide receiver. Big-time money wide receiver stuff. Now, Antonio Brown still returns the occasional punt in the playoffs in a big game late in the season, fourth quarter. He'll return punts. And when Tyreek gets paid, I think he'll turn into that as well, a guy that only punt or returns punts in the playoffs and in big games. But teams, the Chiefs, are heading into this game on Sunday, and I would imagine priority number one is try to slow down. You can't stop, but try to slow down Antonio Brown. He is enemy number one. Now, I believe, moving forward, when teams are game planning the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill will be public enemy number one. Can he still get his week in and week out like Antonio Brown does? Because I don't care how many people you put on Antonio Brown, he's getting seven catches for 114 yards, a score, and that's the basement. That's what he gets on the regular. Can Tyreek Hill become that? And if he isn't that yet, let's stop treating him like he is that. Now, total package, he's a tremendous all-around player. That speed is unparalleled. But you and others have talked about him like he's already Antonio Brown, and he hasn't done that.
No, I'm not saying as a receiver that he is Antonio Brown. What I'm saying is, yeah, it's not finished. But we do have some evidence. This is now year three, and last year he was very, very productive with Alex Smith. Went to a Pro Bowl his first 2 years, albeit as returners, but still he was a really, really good receiver last year. Top 15, top 20 receiver. This year, it is clear that he has worked on his game, especially his route running, and he is much better. Special thanks to Bubba. Congratulations on the gift card to Twin Peaks. Bubba out of KC Mo. He is, but I think you struggle for me. It struggles with me when you try to take away his ability in his punt in the kicking game and punt returning.
Well, if you pay him this upcoming offseason, he's not going to be returning punts in the first quarter.
But I don't like that, because that's what makes him so special, because he affects so much of the game. When you put together how he affects the kicking game and not just him returning punts and going to the end zone, it's teams don't even want to punt with him. The Chargers were done after that first one. And he affects that so much. I hate when people try to take that away. And I understand the injury cause. This happened with Cam Newton. Cam Newton got paid. They said, all right, we don't want him to run the ball. We're going to try to force him to be a special. Well, that's what makes him special, is he's the best rushing quarterback this side of Michael Vick. He's more durable. The best rushing quarterback we've ever seen. And that's part of his game. So then we look, he won the MVP doing that. They've gone away from that after the down year he had, because that's what makes him special. Him returning kicks, him improving as he has as a receiver, all of that together is what makes him even as special as Antonio Brown and Odell if he continues this trend. And he's affecting the game in a way for other people and himself like I've never seen here in Kansas City, and I haven't seen in a long time here. So I don't think I'm going too crazy on it. I'm not going to say right now all of a sudden he's bam there. The step that I've seen him take, and the quarterback helps. The step I've seen him take, that's something that I didn't know he had improved that much upon. And I hate specifically the point of taking away him in the kicking game. That's him. That's what makes him special.
Let's finish with the bang. The money shot brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. It's now open in the Crossroads, and it is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Ronnie H. Show, finish him off.
You know what? One of the greatest wrestlers in the history of the world, maybe the best talker in my list, he's number two behind The Rock. Ric Flair has gotten married for the fifth time. We almost lost Rick, I thought. I thought we almost had to do a montage for Rick, because Rick was in a bad place. Thank God he saw fit to bring him back. He got married in all white. I got a problem with Rick marrying in all white. As nasty as Rick is, as nasty as Rick and all the stories he's been given, you know, sometimes women, after their second wedding, they don't get married in white. This is Rick's fifth. He should have had on brown or black. I've got a real problem with Ric Flair getting married in white.
Why can't you just celebrate a man finding true love?
For the fifth time. I'll celebrate
hey.
It. Hey. Just what he shouldn't have been in all white. She wasn't.
She wasn't?
No, she wasn't. She was in like a nasty turquoise.
Did you see the song Ric Flair came out to?
No, I thought it was Bring Him Out. T.I. No,
Ric Flair drip.
I thought it came out to T.I. Bring Him Out.
Show and Vern, presented by absolutely no one. Someone could step up. 610 Sports Radio, a radio.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.